Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Wachler.
And we are a couple of best friends and credentialed Clipper media people who bring you Clipper news 5 days a week.
Hell yeah.
In case you didn't know, we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. Mm-hmm. Great network, you know, great stuff going on.
Hey, right? Shout out to the network.
We got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with our Monday segment, The Freshies. Just kind of what's new, what's fresh in the Clipper sphere. Today, biggest news is the signing of Nick Batum.
Hey, welcome to the team.
Seems like there's some mixed feelings. We're going to clear it up. I'm actually pretty pumped on this edition. We've also got to talk about the Patterson contract. And all of this is going to be in the midst of training camp, which begins this week.
Yeah, it feels way too soon, but it's going to be a good time.
What a whirlwind. And then in our second segment, we've got to talk a little bit about the preseason schedule, which was recently released. So we'll kind of talk about like what we're going to expect to see from that, as well as, you know, just the schedule itself. And then in shavings, which is just kind of where we wrap up all the other loose ends surrounding the Clippers.
Yeah.
We've got some hypotheticals on if we're going to get some rescheduling stuff a la the NFL's recent COVID outbreaks, and then some very exciting Zubats. All that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, so welcome to the Freshies, Nick Batum edition, I guess. So on Sunday, Nick Batum was waived, and then pretty much on the dot, like a half hour later, Shams tweeted out that Batum plans to sign with the Clippers. Most likely going to be a minimum deal, we think. Some hype from Batum's agent. He said six teams have contacted us and showed interest in Nico. Nets, Warriors, hashtag Jazz, didn't hashtag any other teams. Oh, wait, except for the Raptors. Clippers, Bucks, and hashtag Raptors. Nico's in the best shape of his life. He's working hard with coaches for 2 months. He lost 10 kilos, which is roughly 22 pounds. Seems like a lot of weight to lose in 2 months. Hope he's doing it healthily.
I mean, he wasn't playing basketball, I'm guessing, or like was kind of chilling. So. Yeah.
A lot of wine and cheese over there at Casa Batum, I'd imagine, in a good way. How much is Nick Batum going to do for this team? Because I think some people are kind of lukewarm on this signing, or like pretty hyped, you know? Like the contract that I think Batum had before this is kind of hangs over his head, which isn't his fault. You know, it's not his fault they offered him that insane contract.
Yeah.
How much are you psyched on this signing?
I'm actually pretty excited about this one. I had Glenn Robinson III a little bit higher on my sort of available wings. However, he's going to Sacramento, it looks like. So I think I would put Nick Batum right up there, though, with available wings that I was pumped on.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, looking at the production, it's definitely fallen off like the last three years. He has had some issues with health. Luckily, though, or unluckily, I mean, I don't know how you want to look at it, but luckily, though, a lot of it has been upper body stuff. You know, you're talking about there was an elbow injury.
I think broken, a thumb one in there.
Yeah, a hand thing. There was a broken finger last year, which, I mean, sidelined him for a lot more games than, I mean, I guess I would have thought for a broken finger.
Yeah.
But, you know, if he can stay healthy, I think that he fits the mold for kind of what the Clippers are looking to do. He's a veteran guy, doesn't have a ton of playoff experience because he has played in Charlotte for the past several years.
For sure.
But he was there with the Trailblazers when he was much younger. He can create a little bit off the dribble. Like positionally, he's an okay assist guy, playmaking guy.
Definitely for the small forward spot. And we needed a small forward who, like, distributing the ball from the small forward spot was probably a priority for this front office.
Yeah, for the position, he's an above average offensive rebounder. He's a very good defensive rebounder. So two things that we need, especially given the lack of defense on that second unit.
he is
still regarded as a very solid wing defender. Once again, I don't think he's lost too much of a step, as most of these injuries have been upper body stuff. And if he's feeling confident and he's in great shape, I wouldn't see the defense really falling off a cliff or anything. I still don't know if it's enough to cover up with what we're currently cooking with in the backcourt.
I know it's not. And that's not his fault.
But in terms of output or production, I mean, I would expect him to be in probably the 15 to 20 minute range. The least amount of minutes he's played per game since his rookie season was last year, and he was still playing about 23 a game. He had insanely low production and like the worst shooting splits of his career last year. And I guess one thing I would worry about, if that was due to the role, like if he had trouble adjusting to a role off the bench.
I think it's a change of scenery thing. I think this is so too. So I'm not comparing their impacts, what they're going to be. But when the Dodgers got Justin Turner, he was kind of like ready to leave New York and like hated it. And then he came to Los Angeles, obviously turned his career around, became a very important Dodger.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Batum's going to get to the level of that for like the Clippers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think the change of scenery, you're looking at the teams who inquired about him. And these are all teams that have, other than the Warriors, maybe realistic aspirations of making a conference finals this year.
Yes.
Of wanting to, of thinking it's within, you know what I mean?
No, totally, like, totally. I mean, there was going to be interest, and like you said at the top of this, I think a big reason that he's viewed in the negative light that he is was that huge contract, which, you know, at the time, it was, I believe he re-signed in that 2016 year.
It was a lot. It was when the cap was going to jump and everyone was getting wild contracts.
It was like, when everybody was, like, making kind of crazy bucks. And so it makes
making crazy bucks, dude.
I mean, it makes sense that he got overpaid. It sucks that, you know, he wasn't really able to live up to that contract.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that he's just a solid wing addition. And I think that given like his veteran status and, you know, how the last 6 years of his career have really gone. I mean, I would assume that he'd be down to buy into a role and want to win.
Yeah, this is his first time he's ever been on a legitimate championship contending team. You know, those years with the Blazers and you're like, yeah, we can maybe make a run. But like, this is a team, this is the best team he's been on.
Yes, definitely, definitely.
By far.
So I think that he is a guy who can contribute to winning. And I think that, yeah, during the regular season, we're looking at probably the 20-ish minutes range, depending on how hard we lean into staggering, you know, Kawhi and PG, and also depending on if we make any other wing additions. The issue I'm having right now is just that, like, with Kennard, Lou, and Patterson all sharing the floor defensively at the same time, like,
then it's Serge and Batum for the most part.
It puts so much more work on both of those two dudes that like maybe that's what they need to get them ready for the playoffs, but maybe it's also just too much to ask.
To just get sauced in the regular season. Yeah, so when we're talking playoffs, what do we think Batum's role in the playoffs is going to be? Because obviously everything kind of shrinks down outside of, you know, Kawhi and Paul George. Their numbers are most likely going to go up minutes-wise.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Batum in the playoffs, historically...
He could be, like, what, your eighth man? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's last on the off the bench, right? Like, we're not...
If he's your
eighth... We're not doing the Doc thing where we're like...
Yeah.
We're going to play him because that's what we did.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, in a shrunken playoffs rotation, if Batum is healthy and he's playing at the level that I think he can play at, I mean... And he's your eighth best man. I feel like you're looking at a really solid roster, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, and you got eighth. I think that's definitely fair. It's going to be interesting. I think a lot of us just have a bunch of questions that are hopefully answered pretty soon, just for what we're going to see from Batum.
Yeah, which is totally fair. It's totally legitimate.
And now, real quick, we're going to talk the Patrick Patterson contract because he was re-signed, but he was re-signed to a $3 million non-Bird free agent. Rather than the $1.62 million vet minimum. Due to this and the hard cap, that's likely going to force us to cut Joakim Noah. We can sign another player that could be Joakim Noah to a vet min to fill out the roster. We also have Kai Bowman, who people think is going to be brought up and then used in a trade for George Hill. Do we think Patterson had other offers? Or what? Because
I think so, man. Here's the thing.
He played well for what he did last season. Everyone kind of thought he was washed. And a lot of people, some people on Twitter are saying... You know, we announced the Patterson signing. I was guilty of it, too. Everyone was like, okay, whatever, big deal. But, I mean, he overperformed what your expectations of Patrick Patterson were. So I'm thinking Batum is going to be in the same thing. Sorry, that was just kind of an add-on.
No, for sure. I think $3 million, I mean, you would prefer to get him for the vet min, especially given what his role happened to be in the playoffs and how poor he kind of has been defensively. I think in the right, like... I think if he's better utilized, though, I mean, I don't think $3 million is a crazy
because he's our backup four. Like, on paper right now, he is our backup four.
Yeah, I don't think $3 million is, like, a crazy overpay. I don't know how he fits into, let's say, the rotation shrinks to an eight-man rotational playoffs. I don't know if he's going to be able to crack that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, man, he's a really solid shooter. He's a big dude. And, you know, as I've said, I have been worried about him defensively. He has just not been very good. But I do think maybe in the right system, he could at least be passable. You know, he could be slightly below average.
Slightly below average, for sure. And, you know, with staggering with Kawhi and Paul George and Marcus Morris with the bench unit at the four spot, things could get different. You know what I mean? In terms of how much Patterson's actually going to play.
Yeah.
With how much tinkering Ty Lue is going to do. Because when you look at, like, if you're looking at playoffs, if you look at that, it's probably going to be a nine-man rotation, right? Because, I mean, all the starting five is going to be in the playoffs. And then you have Serge, Kennard, Lou. I think there's going to be a battle for that eighth spot. Because, like, defensively, you know, Ty Lue's going to probably go away from Lou Will if things aren't going well. You know what I mean? So, like, that's going to be a flexible eighth spot.
Yeah. And, I mean...
But I agree. I don't think Patterson's making that eighth spot.
We still might not be done with moves. It's tough to say. I you know, we've talked about this before, but I would prefer if we didn't wait till the trade deadline mid-season if we were to make another move. But who knows? Who knows with this front office?
We're going to see what happens. Let us know what you think about the Nick Batum signing and the Patrick Patterson contract specifically at Locked On Clips. Coming up, we're going to be talking the no doubt to produce some level-headed takes after the games. Preseason games against the Lakers in Utah. But first, Will, look, all these kids, I go outside, I see people spray painting on the on dumpsters, Built Bar, Built Bar. What is Built Bar?
Makes sense. It's worthy of spray painting on a dumpster. It's worthy of tattooing across your face.
Whoa!
Built Bar is the best health bar on the market, I'm telling you. And the new improved Built Bar is even more delicious than before.
Love
comes
it.
In 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut for those with allergies out there. The six new flavors include caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. The bars are great. They're like a health bar that tastes like a candy bar. They're healthy, though. They're built for the health-conscious person.
Nice.
You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Best of all, the bars are low-calorie, they're low-sugar, they're high-protein, they're high-fiber, which makes them great for the keto diet. They have up to 19 grams of protein per bar, which you need to build that body strong. And right now we have a very special offer for our listeners. You can get a free cooler with purchase right now while supplies last.
Of course.
If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, one word, you'll get 20% off your next order. Promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Okay, so the NBA preseason schedules have been released. The Clippers starts on December 11th, my mom's birthday, at the Lakers, and then December 13th at home against the Lakers, and then December 17th versus Utah in Utah. I mean, thoughts on the schedule? This is going to produce some annoying takes. The results of these first two games from a take perspective from the usual suspects is going to be annoying. That's mostly what I'm worried about. Everything else, I'm just excited to see basketball.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to get back to regular basketball. It's very clear what the NBA is doing with the Lakers matchups. But maybe, though, I don't think this is the case, but what I would like to believe is that this was done to eliminate some of the travel. You have two teams already, you know, sharing a home base. It does make sense for them to play each other more, you know, just given how there's no other teams that really have this scenario. Maybe you could say... you know,
Sacramento,
the
Golden
Nets.
State, you know, they don't got to move too much.
Yeah, like Knicks and the Nets, I think, is closer.
Yeah. I mean, it's the biggest draw. I guess I'm, like, what level of, like, how much, it, like, Kawhi and Paul George, how much are they going to be playing in these preseason games?
Oh,
is
I mean,
the, like, level of play-wise, what are we looking at here?
I don't think we're looking at a whole lot. I mean, we're looking at pretty, I would guess we're looking at pretty minimal run.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? There is a rivalry, and who knows if the Trez thing, you know, adds a little ire to the fire, so to speak.
Hey.
But I don't know. I think the biggest thing is just going to be getting guys back. You know, getting guys back after...
get that run in.
After, such a weird break. I think you got to... I think you have to stagger people into game shape. I mean, obviously you have a whole season, so that's nice. But I think you have to do it a little bit more gently this season than you have in other seasons.
For sure.
It's also, I'm curious to see what the Lakers are going to look like. You know, they have made some significant changes to the roster, and they have had the least amount of rest out of anyone in the Western Conference. So I would guess both teams are going to be, you know, playing a pretty deep rotation.
Yeah, we're going to see some run from some guys.
I was going to say, I would guess almost everybody on the roster gets playing time for both sides.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know what the level of competition is going to look like in some of those minutes.
Yeah, I'm excited to see the limited minutes we see from the starters, depending who plays. Like, I think I'm most excited to see how Serge looks, just fitting with a new group of guys. The second unit is kind of borderline revamped, you know, like now that Sham and Trez are gone, like we're adding, you know, and Jermichael. Like it's such a new second unit. I think it'll be cool to see Serge hopefully kind of like be the settler. You know what I mean? If things are feeling a little antsy or something like that.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see what this team is going to look like when it hits the ground. I mean,
yeah,
are we going to feel like we've addressed some of those obvious flaws that we had, you know, coming out of the postseason a mere couple months ago? You know, certainly we didn't make a huge ripple maybe for a guard. But we did make, I would still say we made significant moves, like you were saying.
Yeah, we did a draft day trade. We traded Shamit. Like,
yeah, this is a new look roster.
And it's a team that, you know, offensive rating isn't the most indicative of how well a team performs offensively. But for a team that supposedly needed a point guard, our offensive rating was pretty damn good. I believe we were behind the record-setting Mavericks, and I think we were two. I'm excited to see what the, and this is really for the third game, I guess. First two games, I'm kind of just throwing out the window.
Mm-hmm.
What the weaknesses of this roster are going to be. We know the strengths. Mm-hmm. Like, the strengths didn't change at all, really. You know, we can space the ball a little more on the second unit, which is great. But the top two strengths stayed the same. It was Kawhi and PG.
yeah, right.
Being great. So seeing it, what kind of comes to a head on that third game against Utah is going to be cool. If we're making the same kind of mistakes or something like that, like noticing those weakness trends, I think is what I'm most excited for.
Yeah. So I think that's a great point. It just, we'll get a look to see if things are a little bit more shored up. I'm curious to see, you know, if we're going to have a perceptible difference of what it looks like with Ty Lue at the helm. If there's a little bit more sort of continuity on there. And I'm curious to see how everybody's communicating defensively. And also, like,
yeah,
this might not be a popular take, but I'm ready for revenge Batum if he doesn't end up signing.
You're ready for him to just come out and destroy? That'd be a good time. Yeah, I'm excited to see. So Oturu's probably going to get some run. He signed a two-year fully guaranteed contract. I think that was announced at some point in these last 4 days of Turkey Feast. So there seems to be hope from the front office that he'll be able to play like a little bit. So I'm excited to see the young guys kind of do their thing. I hope we get to see Fee look like he's ready to maybe usher in a next step.
I would not count on that.
I'm not necessarily counting on it. But you look at the crop of guys, like Fee's going to be playing out there with probably all the younger guys, right? So yeah. If Fee can show that he is the, you know, because Terrence Mann obviously is ahead of Fee in development. Mm-hmm. Like if Fee can show that he is very much separated from the new young guys, I will be pretty psyched. I know it's going to be a G League year for Fee, I'm assuming. We didn't really talk about that with the backup four situation because it's like Patterson and then Fee are the two and the three for that. So like, and I'm hoping, you know, I'm assuming Fee's working in the offseason. I've seen some videos and stuff like that. He doesn't post as much about it as some players do. But yeah, I'm excited to see from the young bigs because the Clippers have weirdly invested in young bigs in the past couple drafts.
Yeah,
good call. So like, let's hope they're looking kind of close to being able to play next season consistently.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
But yeah, I'm excited to see some adjustments. I wonder, we always talked about how Doc was like holding close, you know, like playing his cards close to the chest. But I don't ever really
think. Turns out that he just wasn't.
Just didn't have those cards. So I'm excited to see. What would be cool to see is like Ty Lue finding a lineup that crushes for like four possessions. And then he's like, okay, let's get this off the floor because I want to keep this. With Doc, it was just like, I'm just going to run this into the ground until whatever happens. Let us know what you're excited. What's your prediction? What are we going on this preseason? 3-0?
I think we go 1-2.
I think we go 1-2, and I think people freak out. Yeah. Not everybody. I think the people who don't ever watch the Clippers will freak out. And there's going to be a Kendrick Perkins tweet where he uses some horrible metaphor about the Clippers versus the Lakers. Coming up, we're going to be talking the possibilities of COVID doing its thing on the NBA season, as well as Zubat's new collectibles. But first, got to give a shout out to Mondays on Locked On NBA. Listen to Locked On NBA on Mondays. Josh Lloyd, host of our widely popular Locked On Fantasy Basketball, takes you around the NBA's major headlines with the help of our local experts. I'm going to be on the Monday NBA show as well. Coming up today, subscribe to the Locked On NBA podcast today, wherever you get podcasts.
All right, so we're back with shavings. And something we're just kind of wondering, obviously this week the NFL has had to reschedule the Ravens-Steelers game, I believe, two different times.
And refused to reschedule the Broncos game, in which they played with no rostered actual quarterback.
That's good stuff. So we're just kind of, this is just kind of open forum, wondering, what is, when and will this happen with the NBA season?
It's going to happen at some point, I feel like, right? Like, it's like, so obviously the difference between NBA and the NFL, rosters and personnel, way less in the NBA.
Yeah.
So the NBA has that going for it.
It's also a somewhat more common practice in the NBA for teams to skip practices.
Oh, excellent point.
Especially with like a Ty Lue team. But I do think that that would probably... that would probably be the instance if, you know, especially if a marquee player ends up getting sick, I would assume that that team is going to suspend practices and try to make those games just because the rescheduling seems like a nightmare.
It's quote unquote, and I don't mean this in any destructive way, it's a little easier to play an NBA game without a week of practice than maybe an NFL game. Like, NFL players should maybe practice even less just because of the physical toll on your body. But like scheme-wise, basketball versus NFL, it's a little different.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Totally.
No, man, I'm just, you know, like they still are going to be traveling. And the bubble thing was great. Like the bubble worked exactly like a bubble situation should work.
I mean, the best as it could.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. But now we have the whole situation like, I mean, Toronto's playing in Tampa Bay because Canada's like, yeah, no, you can't have games here. So that adds a whole thing to it. And I wonder if this is going to differ with rest, but like there's a chance that we're going to see some bigger players maybe out with COVID. Because there's also, you know, there's all this stuff with there's no bubble. So all these stadium workers are there and players as well can go out in their cities, you assume, and stuff like that.
I think it's really hard to gauge what to expect from a situation that's so much less controlled. I certainly think that, I mean, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the responsibility is going to be put on the individual players to be being safe. And, you know, hopefully they do. But once again, you know, people living in different states and, you know, probably even different regions of states,
there's different restrictions and like things are different.
There's different restrictions and then just, you know, there's different understandings for people of what seems to be an acceptable amount of risk.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of those things that's really hard to control. I feel like the NBA is going to be shooting itself in the foot really much harder than the NFL if they get to a position where they have to be rescheduling games, because you're not talking about 16 games. You know, you're talking about like
there's a whole domino of games. We saw it with even, you know, the Kobe situation.
Yeah.
With rescheduling those games.
And that was huge. Like that was, I mean, obviously a seismic event, but also like, you know, the implications for the other teams that had played more games. And, you know, it's difficult. It's a difficult scenario, but yeah, I don't know, man. I don't see it being able to work if especially with how tight the schedule is. You know, we still are having back-to-backs and stuff in this.
I know.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you might have to reschedule one team's back-to-back, and it's just one, you know, another team's single game. It sounds like a nightmare to me, and I hope that it's avoidable.
100%. Because there's, like, teams of COVID. There's, like, a COVID team with every team.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, for tests, which is great, definitely. Obviously.
And once again, though, it's just unfortunate that I do feel like a lot of this is going to be passed off on the players at this point.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you said, they are smaller facilities and smaller staffs than the NFL. But, I mean, I would still imagine that you have, you know, especially if you're a marquee star, you have your own outside guys that you work with.
100%.
With, you know, who may or may not travel with the team. And yeah. I don't know how you keep tabs on all of that.
And there's a big book, like, you know, the Woj tweeted out, like, there's a 134-page health and safety protocol guide coming up. So it's like, so that seems good, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
If someone tests positive for COVID, they either go 10 days since the first positive test or have two negative PCR tests at least 24 hours apart. So, like, there's these things in place, and it does seem like maybe the NFL saw where the NFL wasn't doing things as good and, like, was like, well, we should do this differently. Which
we
I
should do it differently
did.
Than the NFL. Yeah, that's generally a good policy.
Yeah, usually. But yeah, it's got me, I haven't been trying to think about it too much, but it still is a very real possibility we're going to get some weird lineups maybe. And I mean that for every team, just the Clippers.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just hope that it can be minimized as much as possible because, yeah, it's just, I mean.
It's still doing its thing.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, like for better or worse, you know, like these leagues that have been a lot less restricted, you know, they did still finish their seasons or they, you know.
Justin Turner was out there with COVID in game six.
Yeah, like, and the NFL certainly looks poised to finish its season and, you know, and don't doubt that there will be a Super Bowl. So I don't know. I guess maybe that's just the nature of where we are right now. People are just trying to soldier through it.
Just power on through, baby.
And yeah, I mean, I don't think it's the right. I don't know that it's the best decision, but hey, it's what we're doing. So,
but we got basketball. Wrapping it up here on Shavings. Ivica Zubats bought some new Pokemon cards. Bought a Dark Charizard and a Holographic Charizard.
Okay.
Which, hey, way to go, buddy. Good yes. for him. Hope he didn't get scammed. Don't know what grade these cards are. Of course, the higher the grade, the more expensive. Don't know if it was first.
The Dark
edition.
Charizard did not look that impressive.
No, it was not holographic. I don't think that the other Charizard was a first edition because those are like $170,000.
So is he playing? Do you think he's playing?
I think
the
he's
game
just collecting
Pokemon. Oh wow!
If he's playing, that would be sick.
Yeah, playing. Not a lot of people did. For as many people have
really,
the cards.
Yeah, really didn't catch on as much as the, you know, arguably greatest RPG. Yeah, I said it of all time.
It's not even close to The Legend of Zelda, but
should he get a custom Zubats card? Yay or nay?
No.
I think that'd be pretty tight. Would it be better or worse than Terrence Mann's Kobe painting?
It would be much better. It would be much better.
Every other day I remember that Terrence Mann has a painting of him and Kobe.
Man, I forgot about that until just right now, and I'm bummed out.
Everyone, I think he just posted on his story. But I think I have the pick. It's up there in celebrity odd painting choices.
Yeah.
As well as the one that Ben Carson has in his house of him hanging out with Jesus Christ. anything else in Shavins?
No, this Terrence Mann Kobe painting is, I'm broken. I'm done for the day.
Tuesday's episode, we're going to be doing Twitter Tuesday. So go ahead and send us your questions at Locked On Clips. We love them. They're always great. Some roster talking, no doubt. Then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland. Will, where can these people find us?
You could check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. Yeah. We're also on Google Podcasts if you prefer that. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. You can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It'll definitely do it. If you haven't already, please subscribe. Definitely really helps us out. And you can get all this fresh Clippers news 5 days a week. If you like what we're doing over here, go ahead, leave a rating or review. We'd love it. We'll definitely read it on air. So yeah, just keep rocking with us. Like we said, this season is rapidly approaching upon us. Training camp starts this week. We're excited to talk Clips with you.
It's been a good time so far. Can't wait for basketball to start. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.